I want you to know that this morning, the Godhead, and brother, save that verse for me, because I looked for that verse. I don't know how many times I couldn't find it. Here you are giving it to me. Save that for me, because I want it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what I'm trying to refer you is this. We learn this in the Bible, okay? All that brought Brother John, Brother Kevin, and Brother John, John, what they said was correct. But we find that information in the Bible, okay? So let me ask you this. I'm not going to say how many times, but when do you study the Bible? Do you study the Bible just this morning? Are you opening it this morning when I said, you better get ready with your Bible because I'm going to ask you questions from the Bible? Or do you study all the time? See, that's important. What does study do for you? Go ahead, Kevin. And I know you used the word John because it was the Apostle John that said that, okay? But it was the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write all that. See, that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at the Godhead. First, we know that God created everything. But then the Holy Spirit lets us know what is going on. I want you to open your Bibles to John 14, 26. We're going to find a lot of this information in John, but we are going to go through the Bible. John chapter 14, verse 26, and if somebody has it, would you please read it? And like I always tell you, I hope you guys noticed something a while ago, that Brother John said something, and I couldn't hear him. And then he repeated it a little bit louder, and I still couldn't hear him, okay? But then my wife said it, and I mean, I heard it like that. See the difference? I know when to say, when to do something, okay? Oh, John 14, 26. Thank you, brother. This is what he's saying there. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he calls it the Counselor. He gives it other names. There's other names for him. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. See, there's the Godhead right there. Right there's the Godhead. It says, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father, that's part two, will send in my name. That's the Godhead. So that's what he's telling us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you your remembrance all things that I have said. So where do we find all this information? Let me tell you one thing, brothers. We need to study the Bible daily. Every time we have an opportunity, we need to study. I have a sister that I call every day to make sure she's doing okay. I try to call everyone once in a while. Some of them, already have me blocked. But so far, this sister has not blocked me. And I always tell her, We need to study the Bible, and she says she does. It's important because in the Bible, we find all the information. It was like Brother Kevin was saying, all the information that we need to maintain ourselves faithfully until the end. First of all, we find out what we need to do, which the plan of salvation. After that, once we are in Christ, we need to learn. The more you know, the more mature you get. And when Satan or his servants try to motivate us or guide us the wrong way, we know how to defend ourselves. Because if we do not study, we will never know what the Lord expects of us. We have other books in the Bible besides John 14:26. I've known this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 for a long time. Does anybody you can paraphrase it or read it? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. John, read it for me. This John. We got a bunch of Johns here, so I'm going to have to start pointing.
16, 17, right?
Yeah, second.
But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase.
No, it's 2 Timothy, brother. Chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be
thoroughly equipped. It's in the Bibles, brothers and sisters. And if we have any friends, it's there. That's how we learn. That's how we better ourselves spiritually. That means growth. One thing I want to show y'all, and you know, we studied, a lot of us know the Bible. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Chapter 19, and I want you to read verses 35 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 35 through 37. Brother Joel, do you have it?
Yes, sir.
Would you read it for me? Thank you, brother. Here's this king that came against the people of Israel or the children of Israel. He didn't come, but he sent soldiers. 100 how many?
185,000 died.
185,000 came and were going to kill the children of God. I'm going to use those words. Guess what happened? By the time, I'm pretty sure that the town or the children saw all those soldiers coming in, and they probably said to themselves, this is the end of us. That's it for us here. But God said, no, He sent one angel, okay? One angel. And one angel killed 185 human beings that night. Brother.
You know, sometimes we don't put things in context. In the Vietnam War, over 10 years, we lost 50,000 soldiers. Mm-hmm. They lost more than triple that in one night by God's power.
Mm-hmm.
God is not to be trifled with. He means what he says. He has the power to enforce his rules and his word, and there will be a judgment where we will face him someday.
And he will do it. He will do it, okay? But here, I want you, what is the lesson that you get out of there, out of this situation right here? Can somebody help me with it? I don't know. See, I'm just up here. See, I'm supposed to be learning from y'all, okay? What is the lesson that we learn here? Okay, somebody needs to speak up. Okay, he's in control.
I would say standing opposed to God is a foolish thing to do.
That's right. Thank you, brothers and sisters. And this is the way I look at it. If I'm part of the church, God is going to protect me. Okay? I don't care who comes against me. And when I say me, the church, us, the Lord is going to provide for us a way out. He is that powerful. But we have to believe that. Okay? And we have to have that faith and that assurance that we know that God is going to provide for us what we need to continue on. But again, we go back to, we have to do our part. In any situation, brothers and sisters and friends, that we find ourselves in this morning, God will provide. I was talking to another brother. I don't know. See, I talk to so many brothers and sisters that sometimes I forget. I was talking to somebody, and because I don't remember. And he gave me the example. It's like Abraham, when he was going to go sacrifice his son. The words of Abraham to his sons were, and I'm going to paraphrase it, okay? Don't worry, son. The Lord will provide. Okay? He got his son, tied him up, put him on the altar. He picked up that knife. And I'm pretty sure Abraham knew that God would provide. And did he? Yes. Just like that. But you have to look at the faith of Abraham, okay? It's not just saying, I believe. It's not just that, okay? Remember what the Bible says? I think it's in James. My wife wrote it down for me, but I even forgot myself this morning. Where it says, the demons believe. Where's that verse at? The demons believe and tremble. And tremble. They know God. They know God. It's in James. Somebody give me it. Give it to me. What? James 2:19. Let's go to James 2:19. It says, James 2:19 reads this way. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Okay? James 2:19. Even the demons believe and tremble. See the difference? It's not just saying, you know what? I believe in God. The demons believe in God and they tremble. They know God. Remember when Christ, when I say remember, because it's in the Bible, when Christ was doing different situations, miracles, even the demons would come out, are you coming now to to destroy us, but they trembled too. And they were removed by Christ. So we have a powerful God. There's another one, and I love this one. It's in 2 Kings. We're not there no more, but it's when Elijah, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce those names right. Elijah, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 6 and on. Second of Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 and on. I'm going to ask somebody to read that, and I'll stop you when I need to stop you, okay? Second of Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 on. When the king of Syria was making war with Israel. Can somebody read that for me and keep on going until I stop you? Stop right there, brother, for 1 minute, okay? But hold your place and then continue on. This king was going to make war against the town or the people of Israel. And he said, we have a spy within us. Somebody's letting the Israelites know what's going on. And he was mad. He was even trying to point out for his own soldiers. He said, somebody's messing with us. But then this is what kept on saying. Go ahead, brother.
One of the servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." And he sent his horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?"
Stop right there, brother. And I'm sorry for I'm stopping you, okay? So the king's people got there to that town, and he surrounded the city. And the servant of Isaiah, the servant of the prophet, woke up and he saw all those people. Naturally, he was afraid. He said, "What are we going to do?" Okay, brother.
So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Right there, brother. That's all the reading I'm going to ask you to do today, okay? She says, "Open your eyes." Open his eyes, the servant, so he can see. And he saw. I want to say something, brother. I don't have no proof for this, okay? But I say that we this morning are surrounded by angels, making sure that the children of the Lord are safe. I don't care where you go, brother. This morning we're here, they're here. Wherever you go, the children of God are protected wherever they go. Think about that. And let's say, well, he was a Christian and he died. So what? We're going to heaven, so what's the big deal? That's where we want to go. That's where I want to go. You know, when I became a Christian, brother, I want to say, and I don't know, I wish I could go back in time and remember. All I remember is this, that it was during the holidays of Christmas. We didn't have no water in the baptistry where we used to meet. So we called another congregation and said if they had water in the baptistry. He said, yes, we got some. But he said, but we forgot to turn on the heater this morning. So I went over there, and the brother that was going to baptize me, you know, he put on those sweet suits or whatever you call them that, you know, he said, come on in, it's not cold. Look, I'm already in here. He was having fun. So I went in and put my little feet in there. I said, oh, Lord. But then I told myself, and this is what I said, it's for the Lord. But guess what? It was for me. It was for me. So I obeyed the gospel. And I've tried to study the Bible. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters and friends. The more you study, the more, and I want to use this word, the braver you become, because you know that the Lord is with us anywhere we go. And He will provide. Just like Abraham told Isaac, the Lord will provide. He will provide for us. But let me go with my study, okay? Go ahead, brother.
I'd like to read two scriptures.
What?
I'd like to read two scriptures.
Go ahead, brother.
Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, you know, we need to put God's word, God above everything else in our life. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Right. And if we study the Bible to learn, okay? And let me tell you something that's very important, brother. If you study the Bible to prove your point, you're wrong. You study the Bible to learn what the Lord wants us to learn, okay? So we can better ourselves. In reference to those Bible verses that Brother John gave us, here's another one. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31. If somebody has it, would you please read it? 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 31. Brother, 2 Samuel 22? Yeah, 22:31. Am I saying the wrong verses or what? 2 Samuel chapter 22:31. There you go. As for God, thank you, brother. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Okay? So we need to study the Bible to understand where we are and to do what is right according to God. And we will succeed, brothers. We will come out ahead. But study the Bible where it shows us that God loves us at all times. Okay, let's go. I'm just going to go through because it's almost that time again, brothers, and I haven't gotten that far with my study. But let me tell you one thing. This is what Christ went through. Okay, this is what Christ went through, and I'm just going to mention some verses. Y'all can write them down if you want to, or you can read them. Or you know, if you've studied the Bible, you know that those verses are there. Okay. Unless you want to stop me, and we'll go over that special verse. This is what Christ went through. One of the apostles betrayed him. You know who that was, Judas. One denied him three times. Luke 22, verse 34, Peter. But I want you to look at something, because to me this is very important. I want you to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Oh, Lord. Luke 22:54. And if you have it, please read it. That's when the Lord told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. Okay, brother, go to 60 and 62.
But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." Immediately, when he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny him three times."
I want you to look at this portion of the Bible, brother. The Lord Christ told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. He did it one time, he did it two times, and he did it the third time. When he did it the third time, right there it says, the Lord looked at Peter. And what do you think the Lord was thinking when he looked at Peter? I warned you. I told you. This is what's going to happen. And of course, the Bible tells us that Peter went away sorrowful and he repented. Thank the Lord, he repented. He came back. That's fine. When we fall, we can come back and do the will of the Lord. Okay? But imagine when Christ all beat up, because he was all beat up. And he heard that crow, that rooster crow, and then he looked at Peter. And Peter looked at God, at Christ. Imagine how he felt, brother. Nope.
God, or that somehow you're special. You know, God was willing to forgive not just Peter, but all the disciples for their forsaking him. God is a forgiving God, and he is willing to forgive those who will humble themselves before him.
You know, and you're right, brother. Most of the time, we bring the apostles, and we always think of Judas and then Peter denying Christ. But they all left Christ. And at the end, John came back, and he was there at the cross. Credit where credit is due. But they all, remember when Christ, after he was raised from the dead, came to meet him, they were all huddled in a place because they were afraid of the Jewish people, the governors. They were afraid they were going to be killed. But that's another study in itself. But they all went away. They all ran away from Christ. They were all afraid. And I'm not condemning them, because we probably would have done the same thing. Okay? So think about that. Has any bells rung? One? Okay. Tell me when two comes up, because I didn't even hear the one, okay? Okay, here we go. And at the same time, let me tell you something. One of the words that Christ said from the cross, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. And we're going to read verse 46. And if somebody has it, please read it.
And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama
sabachthani?
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Even God, and look at this, even God abandoned Christ on the cross. Think about that. Of course, we know that he had a purpose, okay? And I try to imagine, and I was asking some of the brothers the feeling of God the Father seeing his son going through everything that he went through and having the power to do something about it and didn't do nothing. Why? This is a question I'm going to ask you. Why did God, and I think that's about it, the end of the study. Why did God not do something when he abandoned Christ at the cross?
Jesus took upon himself our sins, and he was sacrificing his life for our sins.
That's right. But there's one simple word, to be honest with you. Why did God, let me put it this way. Why did God abandon Christ? Why did God the Father abandon Christ? Why did Christ the Son went through what he went through? Gene? Kevin?
So a holy God, we don't always get that, how holy God is. The idea that his son is bearing these sins, he's like, can't look at that. And that's what Habakkuk's talking about.
That's the final point, brother. That's the final point. But the Bible says, Christ says, why have you abandoned me? Okay? And this, let me tell you why. He did all this because he loved us and he wanted to save the human race. So it's up to us what we want to do with ourselves. That's it, brothers. Thank you.